Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. And we do want to thank you for making the choice to tune in today so that we can discuss the Word of God, teach the Word of God, and allow it to penetrate our hearts and minds, especially during these very difficult seasons. We've had to become very creative and will be creative. There's crowd size limitations that the president has put in place through April the 30th, I believe it is. And so we're going to be looking at creative ways that we can still continue to minister the gospel. So on the 22nd of March, we had an In the Sanctuary service that we did a live stream to and made sure that we stayed underneath the 10 requirements. Later that day, I called my folks just to see how my mother was feeling and discovered that she was not feeling well that day. Dad had called the ambulance. They took her to the hospital and put her in the emergency room. She kept asking to see him, and the nurse finally went and got him, she said, "I've been looking for you," and they had some sort of dialogue along that lines. Anyway, within just a few seconds of seeing him, she ended up passing away. And so we had a change of plans very, very quickly. And so the next Sunday, I held church for Merritt Assembly of God from a hotel parking lot in Georgia. We were on our way back home, and wanted to speak the words of life. And the message that I had that day was on essential and non-essential business and how we have some things that we need to tend to in the spirit that we cannot afford to delay. And so today we're going to be looking at the Word of God. We not only need to read the Word of God, we need to study the Word of God, we need to believe the Word of God, we need to live the Word of God, and we need to teach the Word of God. And so in case you were wondering where that was going, that is what I was wanting to say. Today we are going to be studying the Word of God so we can believe the Word of God, so that we can live the Word of God, so that we teach the Word of God. And as I was doing that Facebook live stream, there was a church that was right across the street from the hotel we were staying at. Never been. I had to ask my daughter, said, "What was the name of that town we stayed at?" I didn't even know what the name of the town was. It was, and she told me, and there was a church, and part of the church's name was Resurrection. And so if it's okay with you, even if it's not okay with you, that spoke encouragement to me, because this upcoming week is not only the week about the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it is about His resurrection, and His resurrection guarantees the resurrection of believers all across the ages, all across the globe. And it is that hope and that confidence that we have in Him, that He is the resurrection and the life, that causes us not to mourn the same way that other people mourn. I do not feel bad for my mother one bit. I mean, she is physically whole. Her mortal has put on immortality. Her corruptible is now incorruptible. That which was damaged is now made whole. And she's in the presence of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who she loved very, very dearly. And so any tears that I have shed have not been for her, but I talk to her about 5 or 6 times a week, sometimes more, sometimes less, but if I tried not to make it less because I got in trouble if I didn't talk to her every day that I could. So I'm going to miss her immensely, but I look forward to joining her as she teaches us how to worship around the throne room in heaven. I want to take just a moment to say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you are having any trouble with your air conditioning system, I don't think you're going to need your heater much the rest of the year, but if you've got electrical issues, you can call the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. Electrical needs or air conditioning needs. I had a person that contacted me from another state and said, while we were away, we experienced some record-setting heat where we were, and you need to have your air conditioner up and running. And if you need help with that, call the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. So I want to take you today to Psalm 86. Psalm 86 was where we were going. It's it was the next in line. I did not realize when I prepared this lesson that I was going to be sharing it from such a personal perspective. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 17. It says, "Bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice, the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore, for great is your mercy towards me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." So a number of these psalms that we have gone through share some things in common, and so I try and highlight different aspects of these psalms. I don't want to just keep harping on the same things or sharing the same things. But the very first request that David makes of the Lord here in verse number 1 is, "Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me." Another translation puts it this way, "Incline your ear, O Lord, hear me." Have you ever given any consideration to the positioning that God has regarding you? Some people just feel like God is opposing them all the time, and other people just assume that God is for them all of the time. But as a believer who walks in covenant fellowship with God, I want to tell you today that with utmost confidence, God is inclined towards you. He is leaning your direction. He's not reluctantly getting involved in your life. He's not reluctant to hear your prayer request and hear you cry out to him in time of need. He is already tuned in to your voice. And as he is inclined to David, David cries out to him and he says, "Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God." And, you know, I haven't heard anyone say that this is a messianic psalm. I see messianic passages in here, things that were fulfilled in Jesus' life and death and burial and resurrection. But I've come to realize after processing my mother's passing that when we cry out to him, "Deliver us from evil," or "deliver us from the evil one," that it is more than just a deliverance that relates to this earth here. Our life is preserved by the blood of Jesus Christ, not just for 10 years or 20 years or 70 years or however long it is that we live after we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus preserves our life for all of eternity, that where he is, there we may be also, that we get to spend eternity with him. It is an eternal deliverance, not just a temporary deliverance. And he says, "I am holy, my God." Well, it doesn't say you, but the only reason that David could declare himself holy is because God was his God. The only way that we can be holy is for God to declare us holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can never on your own be good enough. You can never on your own be powerful enough to declare, to make an authoritative declaration that says, "I am holy." God says, "Be holy even as I am holy," says the Lord. There are a lot of people that view holiness as something that is optional. Well, I can say a prayer, I can ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, I can go and live my life however I want to, do whatever I want to, tell people anything that I want to tell them, whether it is edifying or beneficial to them or not, and they think that, well, it doesn't really matter if I'm holy just as long as I ask for forgiveness. And I want you to know that whenever we compromise holiness, whenever we reject it from our lives, we miss out on the benefits of holiness. First of all, let me say this. The Bible says, not Bob says, but the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that without holiness, no one will see God. So holiness is not something that would be not deemed non-essential. It is essential. It is vital. It's a non-negotiable. There should be demonstrable proof that Jesus is living in our heart. And so as a result of that, we can say, "God, preserve my life." Now, whether that is getting us out of the problem, my mother had some health issues, some of which she had been plagued with for 20 years. But she was an inspiration to people. She had this saying. She said, "If I am just able to bring one person to Jesus during the last two decades of her life," where she had physical challenge after physical challenge after physical challenge, and she continued to exhibit the joy of the Lord through most of that time. She said, "If I can just lead one person to Jesus, all of this will have been worth it." So she had limitations, she had challenges, she was regulated to getting around via a scooter and things like that, but she wasn't going to stop that from letting her be an effective servant for Jesus Christ. And so today I have the utmost confidence that her life is preserved, but it is also enhanced to a degree that she's never experienced before. And so I you know, don't feel sorry for her, wouldn't want her back, to deprive her of the joy of Jesus' presence for anything in the world. But it is a little bit of a difficult valley to go through. It's an extremely difficult valley for my dad. And so if you would be praying for him, that would be greatly appreciated. Verse 2 concludes with this statement, "Save your servant who trusts in you." And this also has that same mindset of positioning. That word trust means leans into and believes in you and confidently looks to you without fear or doubt. So I want to ask you today, do you trust God? Do you lean into him or do you fight against him? Do you believe in him? Or do you have other things that you believe more? Do you confidently look to him? See, prayer is not just wishful thinking. See, I prayed the Sunday morning of my mother's promotion into glory. I prayed that God would heal her, and he did. Didn't do it the way that I was expecting, but she had never been more healed in her entire life. So I confidently look to God, and I do so without fear. When I come before the throne of grace, when the Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace, I'm not afraid that I'm going to be ushered out of the presence. Now, I've been in some situations. I've gone into some courtrooms where the judge was anything, as far as I was concerned, the judge that I went before, and I was there as a supporter. I wasn't there as a defendant or anything like that. I was there in a supporting capacity, but the judge that we interacted with did not resemble the judge that I read about in the Word of God at all. In that courtroom, that judge made it clear it was his rules or no rules. I mean, he made no bones about it. And, you know, no one really cared to be in his courtroom from the articles of the newspaper that I read. But in there, you lived in that artificial reality with fear because you did not know the customs of the courtroom. And so a person said, listen, when you cross the threshold into a courtroom, you enter a different world. And don't ever go into that different world without someone who knows what the protocols for that courtroom are. And I was like, yes, sir. And I won't. And I haven't. But when we come boldly before the throne of grace, we don't find a God that's looking for a reason to exclude us from his presence. We are looking, or we are in the presence of a God who has done everything possible to enable and empower us to thrive in his presence. This week, as you remember Jesus' arrest, his death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father, remember, all of that was necessary for our entering into the presence of the Heavenly Father. And Jesus set aside everything. He emptied himself of everything he needed to in order to be a sufficient sacrifice for my sins and your sins. Save your servant who trusts in you, who confidently looks to you without fear and without doubt. You have an advocate with God. Let's talk about doubt for just a minute. because there are some people, I'm thinking of a person that I know, and they're the ones that worded this, and I'm not going to give their name to no one here local. It's someone that I know from when I was growing up. And they were going through a health crisis. They are a believer. They love Jesus. They serve Jesus. They trust in God for healing and for ministry. And yet during times of health crisis, that person said that they found doubts going through their mind. And finally they realized that just because doubt was in their head did not mean that doubt was in their heart. Okay? Trust is not just an intellectual pursuit. Trust is a spiritual pursuit. If we allow trust to be doubt-free in our spirit, it's going to impact our mind. Too many times we live our lives with the body telling our mind what to think, our mind telling our spirit what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And really, that's exactly backwards. Our spirit is of utmost importance. The spirit impacts the mind, and the mind will dictate to the body what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So David cries out to God, and he says, "Save your servant. I have put my complete and total trust in you. I don't fear, and I do not doubt that you are the right person to cry to." He goes on and he says in verse 3, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long." Verse number 4 says this, "Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." And I looked at that and I thought, that's a very, very unusual way to put that phrase, "Rejoice the soul of your servant." And so I did some more research, and another person put it, "Make to rejoice the soul of your servant." Isn't it just like God, in our most difficult season, to come into the situation and compel us to react? Even though the circumstances might be quite precarious, even though they might be quite challenging, they might be very intimidating, David cries out and he says, "Make me to rejoice right here, right now, because to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Whatever we present to God, God is going to take it and he's going to transform it. And it's going to be returned to us better than it was before. I don't believe anything that we ever present to God is going to come back in a worse situation than it went. Right now, you may be battling a great deal of fear, of uncertainty. I know that there's a lot of financial implications from this viral shutdown that has impacted so many people's lives. And today I want to encourage you that if you find yourself in a situation that you've never been in before, I want you to look and say, are you inclined towards God at this time? Can I tell you something? There's not many other choices. There's no better choices, but there are just not that many choices. What are you going to do? Sit at home and binge watch on television all day long? There's no shopping places that you can go. You can't go to a sports venue. You can't go to a theater. There's just so few places that you could go. And even if you do have to go out someplace, the chances are increased that you could find yourself a victim of contracting the virus that you're trying to avoid in the first place. Why don't we as a society say, you know what, I've got a book over there on my shelf. It's an old book. It's got a little bit of dust on it. But I wonder if God has something to say during this time. What if we use this downtime that we have and say, God, I need to reconnect with you. I need to cry out to you, for I am poor and needy, and God, I'm going to position myself to lean into you, to believe you, and I'm going to look for you to preserve my life. God, forgive my sins. Make me holy. Only you can make me holy. And God, would you enable me by your mercy to be able to rejoice during these most difficult seasons. Now, if you're sitting there and say, wow, that's great. You've got to remember, we're not a mega church. We're almost like a micro church. We're a smaller ministry. And if you think that there's not some natural implications, it is very difficult when you're in the people business not to be able to be around people in order to serve them. And there are some other challenges that I'm not going to mention, because God is going to be victorious in each and every one of these circumstances. So God's going to cause me to rejoice. If he can cause me to rejoice going through this resurrection season with my eye fixed on the past of his resurrection and fixed on the future of the resurrection of loved ones and those who have died in Christ, I know that God's got something that he can compel you to rejoice about as well. God is good. The great thing about God's design for our bodies is he designed a healing mechanism for us. And on top of the natural mechanisms, he has supernatural abilities to send forth his word and heal us of all our sickness and disease. God is not just Lord, he's not just Savior, he is the healer as well. He's the resurrection and the life. God bless you today. We want to thank you for listening. Do check us out on Facebook. MeritAssemblyOfGod.com is our website, but you can find us online at Merit Assembly on Facebook as well, and keep up to date with all that's going on. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.